Looking at verses 22 to 36 tonight. So tonight we conclude chapter 8. Before we get into it, let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for those who have come out tonight. We pray that you would continue to give us wisdom as we go through this book that can do that. Thank you for people who love you and love your word. We pray you bless each one for their sacrifice for being here this evening. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go through this book of Proverbs, you certainly come away with the conclusion that there's nothing more important to God than the wisdom of God. That's certainly something this book is communicating. And the wisdom of God is responsible for a variety of things, including creation. The wisdom of God is responsible for salvation. That is rooted in the wisdom, infinite wisdom of God. And ultimately, everything that transpires in the future is also rooted in the infinite wisdom of God. Now, God's wisdom cannot be compared to anything in this world because it's completely different from the wisdom of this world that's found in books. There are those that try to leave God out of things, and basically they end up pursuing foolish rabbit trails. The wisdom of God is something that is a total mystery to most people. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. They're not capable of grasping the things of God, but it is given to those who are spiritual. The book of 1 Corinthians, and certainly we've been seeing that on our journeys in Sunday, is a book that communicates to us that spiritually minded people are the people that are going to grow deep in understanding the things of God. Now, there is absolutely no question when you open up this book of Proverbs, and especially when you travel through the first 9 chapters, that Solomon wanted his sons to lay hold of the wisdom of God. That's the topic he keeps addressing. My son, listen to me. My son, hear me. Please go after the wisdom of God. Make wisdom the pursuit of your life. Give attention to wisdom. Open up your ears and listen to the wisdom of God as it cries out to you. Time and time again, that is what is reinforced as you go through this book of Proverbs. Now, those who want the wisdom of God or pursue it will discover that God will do many wonderful things for them. If they truly make the will of God and the wisdom of God the pursuit of their lives, they will experience blessings. That is the promise of God as we go through this book of Proverbs. And what Solomon wants to communicate tonight is God's wisdom should be pursued because of what God's wisdom means to him and also because of what God's wisdom means to us. Now, what Solomon is going to do in these verses is he's going to actually write the importance of the wisdom of God from God's perspective to himself. He's going to lay out how important God's wisdom is to God, and then ultimately turn it around and say it ought to be important to you in view of how important it is to God. Now, this passage is a passage that could be analyzed under 2 main sections that frankly should motivate all of us to pursue the wisdom of God. Number one, you have the importance of God's wisdom to God in verses 22 to 31, and here's what we read. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old, from everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now, this section is a wonderful section, and it brings out 4 wonderful facts regarding the wisdom of God and its special relationship to God. First of all, God's wisdom had priority over God's creation. That's what we see in verses 22 to 23. These verses are significant because it gives us a deeper understanding of God. That word that says, the Lord possessed me, Jehovah possessed me, is a Hebrew word that implies that the wisdom of God was something that God used to create. He acquired it, he set it up, he established it, and this is something that he had when he was actually involved in the process of designing creation. So before God actually began the process of creating, before he actually created the heavens and the earth and all that's in it, he structured wisdom. Wisdom was a critical part of his personality. Wisdom was a critical part of his being. Dr. Toy says in his commentary that wisdom, it would seem to imply, was something that God actually gave to himself from a point of time. It was something that was actually, he decreed to himself. So from some point of time, the verb tense would seem to imply, God allowed himself or decreed to himself infinite wisdom, and this became then part of the process of his creation. Now, what is crystal clear when you read these couple of verses, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before the works of old, is that the wisdom of God was a top priority in the mind of God. The possession of God's wisdom was something that he viewed as a very high priority. Because before he created anything, the first thing we learn is he possessed wisdom. So if God reveals to us in these verses that his wisdom was a top priority to himself, then, ladies and gentlemen, how important should it be to you and me? How important should the acquisition of God's wisdom be to us? And God is claiming, I can give you my wisdom. In fact, he's saying in this book of Proverbs, I've given you this book so that you can acquire my wisdom, so that you may grow and become knowledgeable and wise according to my perspective. So the wisdom of God was something that was a high priority to God, and it needs to be a high priority to us. Secondly, God's wisdom preceded God's creation, verses 24 to 26. Now, there's an interesting verb that occurs here twice in these verses. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. And then again in verse 25, before the hills, I was brought forth. That verb is that which pictures a woman going through the anguish and pain and struggle of giving birth to a child. Now, the implication of that particular Hebrew verb is that there was nothing easy or simple about the wisdom of God and about all that it designed. It was calculated work, as it were, and the best I can understand the language he's using here is it was laborious work from God's perspective to do this creative work. In other words, he actually had to think through the process. He actually had to design it. He actually had to go through the creative genius of, as it were, of creating everything that he created. And it becomes difficult for us to grasp, but apparently he went through some mental wrestling. There was apparently something that was very concrete and disciplined about what he was doing. He was carefully designing. He's laying hold of wisdom. He's presenting the idea that I was using wisdom as a means of laying out the plans for creation. Again, I just want to draw to our attention the precedence of the wisdom of God is seen here. I mean, God designed wisdom before he designed the earth. Verse 23 says that from the beginning of earliest times of the earth. He designed, his wisdom was in operation when he was designing the water. In verse 25, he was using wisdom before he designed the mountains. In verse 26, he was using his wisdom before he designed the fields. In other words, here's what Solomon is revealing to us by inspiration of God. God had his wisdom before Genesis 1:1. Before you read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, what was there prior to that was the wisdom of God that was in full swing and full planning, and God actually used that wisdom to design everything he designed. And there is absolutely no doubt from anybody who takes an honest look at anything in the universe in which we live that it has been carefully planned, it has been carefully designed, and it has been carefully organized, and that is all due to the genius of God. I mean, all you have to do is look at things around this world. Look at, for example, the mountains. I mean, who says that's high enough? That's where it stops. Who designed that? Look at the oceans or a great lake. And who said that the oceans and the lakes are going to cover 71% of the Earth's surface? I mean, who determines all of that? Who is it that determines the clouds and the clouds that send storms and bring water and moisture? And who determines they go here and they move there and then they disappear? I mean, that is all part of the wisdom of God. And the fact that God had wisdom before he gave birth to any physical creation that he made or designed is certainly evidence to us that it is very, very important. I mean, he's bringing out an important truth to us, that the wisdom of God was important because this is what gave birth to everything else. So, ladies and gentlemen, if God had wisdom and is stressing the importance of it to him, who he is Almighty God, how important should it be to us as people to know the Word, to respond to the Word, to try to get to know as much of the precious Word of God as we can, because therein is the wisdom of God. Which brings us to his third fact, God's wisdom was part of God's creation, verses 27 to 29. Now I want you to notice those words, I was there. In Hebrew, they literally read, I there. When he established the heavens, I there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set the sea in its boundaries so that water could not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. The word there, I there, or I was there, is a unique word because that word does tell us there was a specific time and place and location where all of this happened. In other words, the creative work of God was something that that was real. I mean, there was a real time, there was a real place in which, and there were places where God set these things in full operation. Everything that God did was rooted in his wisdom and came out from his wisdom. And in these verses, he lists some of the things that wisdom was involved in creating. First of all, wisdom was involved in creating the heavens, verse 27, when he established the heavens. Now, the word heaven in the Hebrew text is plural, which indicates all three heavens are in mind. In the scriptures, there are three heavens described in the Bible. You have, first of all, the heavens where the bird flies, Jeremiah 4:25, where the birds fly, the atmosphere that you and I know, you have that, that's heaven number one. Then you have what's called the stellar heavens, where the planets are, like the sun, the moon, the stars, Isaiah 13:10. And then you had the third heaven, or the throne heaven, the throne of God heaven, that's described in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2. Now, by virtue of the fact that the writer Solomon here uses the plural heavens, it would seem to imply that the wisdom of God was carefully involved in designing everything that is heavenly, everything that has to do with heaven, whether it be the throne of God, the stellar heaven, or the atmospheric heaven that you and I live in. God was carefully involved in, his wisdom was involved in designing that all. Secondly, God's wisdom was involved in the creation of space boundaries. Notice verse 27, when he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. That's an interesting, complex series of Hebrew words. But it would seem to imply, as near as I can determine, that God's wisdom was actually involved in the visual boundary limits, the horizons, whether it be in the space or the sea. He was involved in all of it. His wisdom was involved in actually designing that. We don't even know why he designed the things the way he did. We can't even begin to, why does gravity stop and begin or end at a certain place? Who determines at the point where you no longer can breathe, but you would have to have some artificial means of oxygen? I mean, who designed that system? That is designed and rooted in the wisdom of God. The third fact is God's wisdom was involved in the creation of the clouds. Verse 28, when he made firm the skies above, the skies and the clouds were all part of the creation of God. Fourthly, God's wisdom was involved in the creation of springs of water. Verse 28, when the springs of the deep became fixed, he actually put springs in different parts of the world to produce water. Now, that to me is an amazing thing to think about, because only God would know how many people are actually going to live that will need that water. I mean, you would have to know the numbers of that before you would actually say, this is how many springs I'm going to need, and here's where I'm going to need to put them. That's exactly part of the process that was involved in creation when God thought through the number of springs that he would need to produce the water. Fifthly, God's wisdom was involved in the sea boundaries, verse 29, when he set for the sea its boundary. Now, to me, that language, if you compare that with a couple things that are said in Genesis, would indicate that God actually appointed spots where water exists. He's the one who keeps, for example, Lake Michigan from flooding Chicago, or he keeps it from rising up and flooding perhaps some part of Michigan. He's the one who keeps the Atlantic Ocean from flooding New York, the Pacific from flooding Los Angeles. It is God who is sovereignly in control because he has set those boundaries. And those boundaries that he set are boundaries that were determined and rooted in the wisdom of God. He's the one who established the sea boundaries. This is where the sea will be. This is where it won't be. Those were all established and rooted in the wisdom of God. The sixth feature is God's wisdom was involved in the earth boundaries. Verse 29 says, so that water would not transgress his command when he marked out the foundations of the earth. We know very little about the boundaries of the earth. We know very little about this earth and this world. And we'll never be able, no one will ever be able to figure out all the mysteries of this universe and this earth. But what I want you to notice is that this was all rooted in the wisdom of God. And here is a principle that we ought to glean. It's very important to understand that when someone attacks creationism, or when someone purports a satanic theory, such as, this just happened by a big bang, or this just happened to evolve in some sporadic, primordial, evolutionary process. It's a direct attack against not just a religious belief, it's a direct attack against the character and wisdom of God. Because the Word of God is very clear here that the design of creation was rooted in the wisdom of God, and for a person to stand up and in arrogance defy that and speak against that and to try and purport some theory that is completely non-provable, the truth of the matter is they are actually defying the glorious God of the Bible and something that demonstrates his wisdom. See, I really think that those attacks are subtly designed to do that, to try to pull people away from the truth pertaining to God. Because Solomon is trying to say to his son, son, I want you to take a look around the universe. Because I want you to understand something. That wisdom was what designed this universe. The wisdom of God is what gave birth to it. And then he's saying to his son, and son, that wisdom is something you can tap into. So you want to go after that. You want to make the wisdom of God a primary passion of your life. The fourth fact is God's wisdom produces joy because of God's creation. Verse 30, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. This is a wonderful thing because the language here would indicate that God designed this thing as a master artist. The design of God, the things he made are just creative genius. God was a craftsman in everything he carefully designed and built. I mean, this all has his stamp of wisdom on it. And the language here is he was like a skilled architect who was actually involved in designing the whole process and then creating it. And when it says that the wisdom delighted and rejoiced over it, it's as if the wisdom of God was actually something when God would think it through, plan it out, then create it, design it, and here this universe is, he looks at it, there's rejoicing in that, at the throne of God. There's great joy over what God accomplished, what he designed, what he built. This is just a wonderful truth. Now think of what must take place in the mind of God when he sees some human that is understanding the fact that God can impart this wisdom, and he sees some human that says, I want to go after it. God, I want to tap into some of that wisdom that you have. Now, I know we'll never measure up to the fullness of it. No finite, sinful human can. But imagine the thrill it must be for the Lord when he sees someone who is actually going after the wisdom of God, asking God for wisdom, carefully studying the Word, trying to carefully understand the Word of God, that must put a smile on his face. Because wisdom does that. The indication here is God in his wisdom. He designs this, he builds it, then he steps back, he looks at it, and he smiles. He rejoices over the beautiful creation. So when he sees somebody going after the wisdom of God, he steps back, he looks at that person, and he rejoices. And Solomon wanted his son to think about that. Which brings us to the second section, the importance of God's wisdom to us. That's what it should read in your notes. I think we have it wrong there. The importance of God's wisdom to us. In verses 32 to 36, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." Now Solomon, after establishing how important the wisdom of God was to God himself, and then also recognizing that humans had a chance to tap into the wisdom of God, uses this section of Scripture to challenge his children to passionately pursue gaining hold of the wisdom of God. And the one who will perk up his ears, listen to me. That's that idea of turn your ears and focus on what the Word of God says. The one who listens and learns and obeys the Word of God will be blessed. It's that simple. This is so simple, but it's so hard to communicate to people. I mean, you tell them the simplicity. Here's what the Word of God says. If you will just take the Word of God and obey it, you will receive the blessings of God. And sometimes when you look at someone and you share with them what the Word of God says and you tell them these are the principles here that are from the Word of God, these are the wise ways to live life, this is the way God wants us to govern ourselves, and you share that with someone, it's like talking to a fence post. It's like you're not even registering. They just don't seem to get it. If they would say, you know what, let's try that. Let's try God's equation of wisdom. Let's really plug this into our lives. They would discover, they would get just exactly what this verse says. They'll be blessed. They'll be blessed of the Lord. And that word blessed is a beautiful, beautiful Hebrew word because it's a word that means they'll be happy and upright and they'll be prosperous. They'll actually receive God's blessing. God has promised, I'll give my blessing to that individual. But the text also makes it clear that this blessing is not going to be given to everyone. It's those who hunger after those teachings. The 34th verse gives us the picture of someone who is an expectant student who is waiting to take in the instruction of God. The description in verse 34 of the one who'll be blessed is of one who has a craving to understand the Word of God, who wants to saturate himself, who wants to take it in, who wants to hear it, and then apply it to life and obey it. That one is the one who is promised the blessings of God. And you want to know what's so tragic? What's so tragic is not too many will crave the Word of God at this level. All people have the potential. This book of Proverbs makes that clear, that wisdom cries out. There are public places where the Word of God can be taught and understood. It cries out to people, but not all people want to take in the Word of God. But those who do will be blessed. You purpose to fill your mind with the Word of God daily. You purpose to ask the Lord to grant you wisdom regularly. And you will discover you will find a life that truly has obtained favor from the Lord. A life that will be blessed of Him. Those who find God's delight, those who make God smile, those who cause God to rejoice, are those who want to take in the Word, who want to hear the instruction so they can become wise. But the verse ends, verse 36, with the one who really isn't interested in doing it. He puts himself on a path of injury. The one who says, you know what, I really am not too concerned about making God's wisdom the critical part of my life is one who puts himself on a path of spiritual, moral, emotional, and depending upon what he does with Jesus Christ, even eternal suicide. This one puts himself on a path against God and life and against blessing. See, the wisdom of God brings blessing. It brings rejoicing. It brings wonderful instruction and understanding, and it brings discipline to life. It brings thought processes to life. That's what the wisdom of God does. The path of going after the wisdom of God is the right path to choose, because that is the path of blessing. That's the path Solomon wanted his own sons to get on, and that's why he wrote this section of Scripture. Do you have any questions or comments about this passage tonight?